Well, good morning, and thank all of you for being here on another wonderful, beautiful Lord's Day. We have quite a few out sick, and we need to keep them in our prayers always, and pray that they'll be back with us as soon as possible. Now, we've already studied the I Ams of Jesus in our book of John. Now I want to look at the I Ams of the Apostle Paul this morning. And you know that every so often we all need a lesson in obedience and in encouragement, and who better to use as an example other than our Lord Jesus than the Apostle Paul. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going several verses this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 11? He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Philippians chapter 3, if you would. Turn to Philippians 3. In verse 7, Paul said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." And also in chapter 4 and verse 9 of Philippians 3, Paul said, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So I believe this morning's lesson teaches us obedience and our lesson on encouragement that we all need to reach that goal of heaven which we're all striving for. Now, there are many fascinating Bible characters, each of them outstanding because of some superior character trait. We admire Job on account of his patience, Abraham because of his faith, Joseph for his great virtue, Moses for his meekness. Peter, James, Matthew, John, all of them play a part in our learning by showing us things about themselves. Even the lesser lights like Barnabas, John Mark, and Apollos are greatly admired for contributions that they have made to us through their moral strengths that we see declared in them. But aside, of course, from our Lord Jesus, there never was a man quite like Paul the Apostle. Of all the Bible personalities, his life stands out as the most exemplary. The depth of Paul's commitment is awesome. His zeal is wonderful. He was not capable of being fatigued. His personal determination to glorify God through the fulfillment of his commission enabled him to overcome what to some would be insuperable difficulties. His glowing enthusiasm enabled him to address even kings and rulers with both candidness and expectation. His insatiable appetite for converts for the cause of Christ caused him to preach the gospel even to the guards which stood watch over him and even to the household of Caesar himself. He was beaten with stripes on 5 different occasions. 3 times his back felt the sting of the rods. He was shipwrecked 3 times, even spent a day and a night in the deep. He was constantly in danger, and his travels no doubt brought him about chronic illness. He oftentimes suffered hunger and exposure to the elements. He was repeatedly badgered by his countrymen who counted him as a traitor and even swore out oaths for his life. And in the midst of all of this, his greatest pain and agony seems to have come not from his almost unbearable difficulties, but from his constant anxiety over the churches that he had left scattered throughout the Roman Empire during his several missionary journeys. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 4, if you would. And in verse 17, we see, in spite of all his troubles, his attitude is, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what he told the Corinthians. Our light affliction is but just for a moment, he says. But we're working towards an eternal weight of glory. Paul's readiness to preach the gospel is a driving force, ever-burning and unquenchable fire. He seems bent on preaching where there is difficulty and pain, almost, it would seem, because of his early rejection of Christ. He wants to be everywhere at once. He wants to be part of every sermon, of every success, and perhaps of every failure. And nowhere is Paul so clearly the missionary statesman as in the book of Romans. And this is where I want to start our lesson this morning. So if you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Now in the first chapter of the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul is laying the foundation for what is, in my opinion, the most comprehensive and complete discourse on the subject of obedient faith to be found anywhere in the pages of God's inspired Word. For the starting point of our lesson this morning, I would like to turn to Romans 1. We'll look at verses 13 through 16. Paul says, the Bible says in verse 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit from fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then to the, and also to the Greek." The phrase I want us to pay particularly close attention to is used by the Apostle Paul three times in those four short verses. I want to talk to you this morning about the I ams of the Apostle Paul, and the first one is found in verse 14. The Apostle wrote, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." Now we need to realize that it was not anything the Greeks or the barbarians had done for Paul that put him in debt to him. It was not some favor performed on his behalf that made Paul feel obligated to these people. No, it was something else altogether. Jesus Christ had suffered and died on the cross for Paul. He had redeemed Paul. He had made salvation possible for him. Jesus made Paul an heir of heaven. And doing all that he did, Jesus brought Paul under the obligation to do all that he could to carry the message of these same blessings and their availability to all, everyone that he could. Paul was a debtor to others because of what the Lord had done for him. That is the sense in which Paul made the statement, "I am debtor." And that very statement raises a question for us. Was the Apostle Paul under any obligation that we as Christians are not also under? Are we not in this same debt that Paul was in? Did not Jesus die for us personally? Did he not redeem us, make salvation possible for us, and make us heirs of heaven? The answer to all these questions is a resounding yes. The Lord's people have a very real obligation to go to the lost and teach them the gospel. This obligation was put upon our shoulders by the Lord, and it was accepted by every Christian here at Prairie Village when we willingly obeyed the gospel. In our obedience, we became servants of our Lord. And as his servants, we must remember that we are the salt of the earth. We are the lights of the world. And that places us under a very important spiritual obligation to all men. I want us to turn to a very familiar passage in Matthew, the 15th chapter. Matthew, the 15th chapter. We'll begin reading in verse 13. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brethren, did you notice that obligation there? Did you notice it? It is to let our light so shine. Why do we do that? So that people might see our good works. They might learn from us, and they will obey the gospel and glorify our Father which is in heaven. This is the calling of the Christian. Citizens of heaven. That's what we are. Christians are the human race's salt is to food, a preservative. Let us know something else about the statement Paul made. Paul said, I am debtor. I am debtor. Notice now, this was a personal debt. This obligation that Paul was under to the lost, to the wise, and to the unwise was a personal obligation. It was not something that was to be left to the church to do as a unit, but rather it was something that Paul himself felt the obligation to do. I believe that there's a very real danger for folks to sit back and just figure that everybody else is going to do it. We've seen that. This is a real danger to figure that other people in the congregation are going to go door to door in the neighborhood, that other people will invite their friends to the services, that other people will have Bible studies in their homes. So many feel no personal responsibility to take the gospel to the lost, even when the lost are standing right next to them at work. It's just not right, brethren. It's not right. Let's be honest with ourselves and with the Lord. How many of us really feel that personal responsibility to the lost? How many of us are personally trying to spread the good news? Come with me now, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, brethren, it's true that we're under the same obligation that Paul was under, and that is a personal obligation. We must get to the point where we feel as Paul did when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, we're not all required to be preachers of the gospel in the sense of full-time evangelists, but we all do have the obligation to others of what Jesus did for us, and we should feel woe is unto me if I don't fulfill that obligation. Something else we might say about fulfilling that debt is that we cannot meet it by dealing with a certain type of individual that we might be accustomed to dealing with, and that happens, believe me. Whether an individual is rich or poor, black or white, educated or uneducated, whatever it might be, we have an obligation to that individual to try to teach him what he must do to be saved. Just think about it. If Paul had only taught those with whom he was accustomed to dealing with, he would have stayed only with the Jews. And those Jews would be educated Jews, cultured Jews, and rich Jews at that. He would not have been the apostle to the Gentiles. Instead, he said, he was a debtor to all. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, if you would. First, Romans 1:15. I want to look at the second I am. The second I am that I want to look at occurs in verse 15 of Romans 1. Paul said, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. There's a whole lot that we could get out of that short verse. For instance, the attitude displayed by Paul. He said, as much as in me, as much as is in me, in other words, with everything I've got, I want to preach the gospel to you. Certainly there's a lesson there for you and a lesson there for me. But I want us this morning to focus on the I am. Paul said, I am ready, he says. I am ready. He was under an obligation, and he was ready to fulfill that obligation. We're under the same obligation, and we must be ready to fulfill it as well. First, there's a great deal involved in being ready. To be ready demands willingness first. And by saying he was ready, Paul is expressing his willingness to go and preach the gospel in Rome. It's one thing to be under a debt and to recognize a debt, but another thing altogether to be willing to do something about it. Christians are to be willing to engage ourselves in the world. We have to be willing to endure the hardships and inconveniences that fulfilling our debt might bring upon us. It's so easy to see that part of being ready to do something is to be willing to do it. You have to be willing. Secondly, another part of being ready to perform a task is being capable of doing it. A man might be completely willing to serve the Lord in some capacity, yet lack the capacity of doing it. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be ashamed of. Not everybody can be a preacher. Not everybody can be a teacher. Not everybody can be a song leader. But I tell you what, everybody, and I mean everybody, can invite someone to hear the preacher or invite someone to a Bible class that another will be conducting. Everybody can hand another person a tract to read and to study. For the one who is willing, there's always an era in which they are capable of serving. So often, brethren, so often, though, there are those who are capable, but they're unwilling. That's the sad part. They're capable, but they're unwilling. In order to be ready, as Paul said he was, we have got to be prepared. We cannot teach something that we don't know, can we? And we'll never know something unless we study to learn it. As Christians, we have the obligation to study to prepare ourselves. Paul said, put it this way in 2 Timothy 2:15, and we need to read that together. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Paul says, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What did Paul say? He said, study. Study. That's the only way. That's the only way. Think of the commendation, if you would, given to the Bereans in Acts 17:11. Let's turn over and look at this familiar passage, but let's look at it anyway. Acts 17 and verse 11. The Bible says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So what did they do? They searched the scriptures daily. They read their Bibles daily. They searched the scriptures. Notice too, if you would, they didn't even take the great apostle Paul's word for anything. They read the scriptures to make sure it was true. And brethren, that's why I encourage you not to take my word, not to take any man's word, only the word of God, the Bible. Can you think of a better way to prepare ourselves than to search the scriptures daily? What was it that Peter told us about being prepared? Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. listen now, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So, brethren, let me ask you, how can you be ready to give an answer to every man, every question a man may have? There's only one way. There's only one way you'll do that, and that is by studying your Bible. Studying your Bible. You must do that. Just don't do it on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or Wednesday evening, or whenever we meet. Do it all through the week. Do it through the week. And never, never forget the warning in Hosea 4 and verse 6 where God said through the prophet Hosea, he said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." What did he say? He said, "My people are destroyed." Why? For lack of knowledge. Well, what happens then? Because they don't have the knowledge. "I will also reject thee." God made it pretty clear that if you don't study your Bibles and have knowledge of Him, and my friends, and the only way that you can get that knowledge is by studying the Bible, you will not make it to heaven. So take heed. Study your Bible. Study your Bible. Fourth, another point about this particular I am of the Apostle Paul. In order to truly be ready to teach the gospel, you have got to have a fervent desire to do so. A desire to teach goes a little beyond the willingness to do so. Come back with me to Romans 1 and verse 11. Romans 1 and verse 11. Paul said, "For I long to see you." I long to see you. That shows a true desire. When we long to teach the truth, we must long to teach the truth. We must look forward to the opportunities to do so with an air of eager anticipation. What possible better way is there to spend our time? Think about it. What possible way is there better to spend our time than teaching the truth? All of these things went together to make Paul ready. He said he was ready. And brethren and friends, they'll do the same for you. Now let's go back to Romans 1 and look at verse 16. The last I am. The last I am I want to look at is found in Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul had no sense of embarrassment about the gospel that he preached. The fact that he did not always suit others was no doubt a source of discomfort to him, but he never, never diminished his respect for that gospel, nor made him in the least bit ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Please don't. And even when he was in dire straits, he neither one time apologized for the gospel that he preached, nor expressed any contrition for the circumstance it brought him. Remember earlier in the lesson we discussed some of Paul's trials and tribulations? Now let's think more about Paul's life as a Christian for just a moment. Because of the fact that he preached the gospel, Paul was forced to suffer humiliation and punishment. His own nation had cast him out. He had been cast out of Antioch of Pisidia. He was stoned at Lystra. He was beaten and imprisoned at Philippi. He was forced to flee from Thessalonica to escape his enemies. And he was mocked by the philosophers at Athens and persecuted at Corinth and the victim of mob violence at Ephesus. Remember what he wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 through 28. It's good always. I love to read this. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. If you think you got it bad, listen to what Paul went through to preach the gospel. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh unto me daily, the care of all the churches. And now, and here we are in the Roman letter, Paul wanted to preach the gospel at Rome. Rome, the greatest city the world had ever known at that time. The place of riches and pomp and glory and power and learning. Into this city, Paul longed to bring the simple and humble teachings of the gospel of Christ. And yet, he was not ashamed. Why not? I'll tell you why he was not ashamed. Because the gospel Paul was bringing had God as his source. Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation as its subject matter, the Holy Spirit as its revelator, and heaven as its ultimate goal. That gospel is the power of God. That gospel, and that gospel only, can lead a man to heaven. And that gospel lasts until the end of time. How does that compare with the great Roman Empire? Turn back, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. And I want us to listen how Paul describes that gospel in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Paul describes it this way. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Brethren and friends, it was a glorious gospel that Paul was bringing. It's a glorious gospel that we're privileged to teach and preach today. Paul was not ashamed of it, and neither can we be. It's the same gospel. It is still the power of God unto salvation. So soldiers of Christ, arise. There's a noble conflict to be waged, a great work to be done. There's souls to be saved, battles to be won. Our strength is in our leader, Jesus Christ. Let us follow him and do battle for his cause, and he will lead us to victory. May we all be able to leave this building this morning and say, I am debtor, I am debtor under obligation to all because of what my Lord Jesus has done for me. Also saying, I am ready. Ready to teach that gospel. Ready to illustrate my love for Christ and my fellow man by teaching him how to get to heaven. And most assuredly saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And you know, I couldn't think of leaving the building this morning without looking at what Paul told Timothy as his life was coming to a violent end. Let's read that together. It's a very familiar passage. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read verse 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Remember now, Paul is just about ready to be killed. He probably doesn't have very little time left in this world. In verse 6, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul says, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them, all them that also love his appearing. What encouragement. These words are a great encouragement to all of us. Should be. So if you're not a Christian, let us help you this morning. Let us help you to become a Christian. We beg and we plead with you to come forward as we sing the invitation song and repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And brethren, you've heard me say, when you rise from that watery grave, you'll be a new creature, born again on that road that leads to heaven. And if this is the day that Jesus comes back, we'll all go home together. Maybe you've been an unfaithful Christian. If you need the prayers of the church, you can take care of that this morning by coming forward. Let us pray with you and pray for you. Just think about this. Jesus, our Lord Jesus, has already done the hard part. He's done the hard part. He was on that cross. He died on that cross, the worst death that anybody could die from, for you and for me. And he was sinless. He was sinless. Brethren, he awaits. He awaits your humble call. He awaits for you to come. So will you come now as we stand and as we sing?